wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ezekiel, or if you're from down south, they call it Zekiel. But Ezekiel, and we will start in chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. And we'll look at a few verses as we go through the chapter. It's a blessing to know the truth, because the truth will make you free. And the truth is the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The truth guides us. Such a blessing to know the scriptures. But we will look at one verse here. This is Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 26. I'll wait till you get there. Ezekiel 22, verse 26. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And we will stop there. They've not put any difference between right and wrong, light and darkness, righteousness and unrighteousness. It's a terrible thing. Amen. It's good to know what's good, and it's good to know what's not good. But let's ask God to bless his word today. Father, thank you so much for the truth. And I pray as we speak, preach, teach today, that every heart would be blessed. Thank you for guiding us, for directing us, for helping us. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Let's look at chapter 22 and verse 30. It says there, God speaking, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. What a terrible thing. It says those that were giving out what was supposed to be the truth put no difference between that and the untruth or the wrong. And God looked for a man to preach the truth, and he didn't find any. If you take your Bibles and look with me at chapter 33, over to chapter 33. We're going to preach the whole book of Ezekiel today. Chapter 33, I'm kidding. And let's look at verse 7. The Bible says, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. That's a blessed privilege to be able to do that, to know the truth and share the truth with other people. Look at verse 31. This is the same chapter. And they come unto thee as thy people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And chapter 34. This is what God says in the midst of all of this. There is nobody giving the truth out. And so God says this in chapter 34 and verse 15. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. That's a blessing. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. God is always offering that, which is good. When he spoke to Peter in John chapter 21, he told Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And so that's a good thing, and God uses human instruments to do that. Look with me at chapter 37. Chapter 37. This is a whole chapter about the restoration of the nation of Israel. And it's compared to a valley of dry bones. There were very many, and they were very dry. And God says in that chapter, I don't know if we'll pick any verses out, but he says, I will put my spirit in you, and I will bring life. I will restore you. He's talking about the whole nation. They did not have the truth because their leaders and their teachers didn't put a difference between right and wrong. And so God comes along and he says, I will teach you, I will forgive you, I will bless you, I will restore you. That's what God's ministry to us is. Amen? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall set you free. I think it's John 17:17, thy word is truth. So that's why we preach the Bible. And then if you'll look at Ezekiel 44, and this will be the last reference in this book, Ezekiel 44. Remember what we read in chapter 22. They were putting no difference between holy things and unholy things. Here's verse 23. There's a big change here. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. God gave them those that would tell them the truth. And so let's bow our heads again and ask God's blessing on his word. Father, thank you for the truth. And I pray as it is taught, preached today, that it will be received as it is in truth, the very word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so many verses about this. I know preachers and those that give the gospel out to other people have a great responsibility. They want to tell the truth, amen? Because it's the truth of the gospel that saves the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. So it has to be true. In Galatians 4:16, Paul said this, "Am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Paul, when instructing a young preacher by the name of Timothy, says, "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." He wanted him to be able to teach. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, Paul said this. He said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." There's so much in the Bible, but it teaches us what's right and wrong. Amen? That's the book to go to. It's not a how-to book you find in the library. It's what God wants for all of our lives, and so we follow that. 2 Corinthians 6:14. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? There's no fellowship there. Now, you can get together and have a meal with somebody. You can be neighbors, all of those things. But when it comes to talking about spiritual truths, we fellowship with those that believe the Bible. Amen? That's where our fellowship is. And it goes on in there. It says, "And what communion hath light with darkness?" Those are big differences. And we put a difference between light and darkness. We put a difference between righteousness and unrighteousness when we give the word out, because the Bible teaches that. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, the nation was worshiping Baal. And the Bible says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? Why are you undecided? If Baal be God, serve him. But if the Lord be God, serve him." Later in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters." And so we either believe God is the God, the true God, the one true God, or we believe something else. Amen? And so it's good to believe what God says. So there is a big difference there. John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life." There's a big difference there. That's why Christians are called believers. They believe the scripture. They believe the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe the gospel. An unbeliever doesn't believe that. You have John 3:18. "He that believeth on him," on Christ, "is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So we believe or we don't believe. That's a big difference. Amen? 1 John 5:12. Here's another example of this. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." That's pretty basic, amen? So there's a big difference there. So what's the difference? Well, there's the difference between truth and error, light and darkness, good and evil, right and wrong, eternal life, eternal damnation. There's a big difference there. And so we make that distinction when we tell the truth to somebody. If somebody's believing a lie, the truth will set them free from that lie. Amen? And that's a good thing to have. In Romans 10:12, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same God is Lord over all. So God will save anybody that wants to be saved. No difference. Doesn't matter your nationality, your education, your age, where you live. Amen? None of that matters. God will save anybody that wants to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We believe that scripture. In Jude, verse 22 and verse 23, the Bible says, "And of some have compassion." And then it makes this statement, making a difference. That's an important distinction in the book of Jude. It goes on in the next verse, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That seems to be a more severe thing, but here it says making a difference with having compassion on people. Some people's problems or unbelief is stronger than others. Amen? And some people are easier to reach. Some people are way down the road that they need brought back from. And so it takes a little more energy. But here it says, have compassion. On some, have compassion, making a difference. That's what I want to talk about today. Any one of us can make a difference in somebody's life because we know the truth. Amen? If you know the truth and you have compassion on people, you can make a difference in somebody's life. We follow our hearts. We make a difference. There's many ways you can do that. You can feed somebody. You can give somebody a ride. You can do all kinds of things to help somebody. But to spiritually help somebody, they need the truth. And we give that truth to them because it's the truth that helps people. Amen? It might not help them get a meal. It might not help them get a ride in a car. But it'll help them on their way to heaven, for sure. And that's certainly a blessing. Some people can make a negative difference. If you lie down with the dogs, you rise up with the fleas, you know. But we're not going to take much time today in looking at the negative influences. What I want to do is let's spend our time on what we can do to make a difference for somebody for God. Amen? Because that's what's going to help. 1 Corinthians 11:1, the Apostle Paul said this, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." If you follow me, I'm following Christ. That's a good thing to follow. And so we tell people that. Bible says, follow not a multitude to do evil. Okay, that's pretty clear. But follow Christ. He that saith he abideth in him, all himself also so to walk even as he walked. So we walk the way of the Lord. Those things are important. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. There, so Paul is saying, follow me, but there's a host of people that are following the Lord. And that's a good thing. We come to church, we follow the Lord, we fellowship with each other, we want to rejoice in the truth, amen, that we know the scriptures, we learn something, we leave these two doors back here, and we go out into the world for a week, and we help people. We have compassion on people. We make a difference in somebody's life because we've learned a truth about God. He's a wonderful God, amen? He's merciful. He's kind. He tells us how we can know for sure we're going to heaven. All of those things are truths that we have believed in, we have received, and we take those to help other people. And when we have compassion on people, it's like we want to do it because our heart is there, and we'll see that in just a minute. We have Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me. Acts 11:24 about Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added to the Lord. Boy, I want that true of my life. We have Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we were in darkness, but we accepted Christ. Now we're children of the light. Remember what Jesus said? Let your light so shine before men, in the book of Matthew, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we're children of the light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Would you like me to sing it? Too bad. And I'm gonna let you hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. That's our life. That's our life. That's our faith. That's what we believe in. And we know that. We're just convinced of that. And so we take that message everywhere we go. There's a lot of hurting people. But the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. All of the promises. And we share that with others. Hebrews 11:5. Boy, the book of Hebrews is great, and chapter 11 is great. It's called the Hall of Faith. And you see all of these characters in Hebrews chapter 11, and you see how God used them and blessed them. Well, yeah, that was way back then, and God doesn't do anything like that. There are some things God still does, and we'll see that. In Hebrews 11:5, it says, by faith, Enoch had this testimony. What was his testimony? That he pleased God. And because he pleased God, that was a testimony. In other words, other people saw that. When they saw Enoch, they knew that he pleased God, that he had that faith. In verse 7, well, there's other verses connected with this. In Hebrews 11, Noah, being warned of God of things that hath not yet appeared, God said there's a flood coming. Noah preached for over 100 years. I mean, think of the patience there. Amen? And he had to have a strong faith. But he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He knew God's promise, and he believed what God had said. And even though it wasn't there yet, and even signs of it weren't there yet. Boy, we see a lot of signs at the time. But that's another direction to go. But anyway, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He was called a preacher of righteousness in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read about Abraham. And if you read Romans chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 11, you get quite a taste of his faith. He was a father of the faithful. But it says he went out not knowing whither he went. That's where God told him to go. He looked for a building whose maker was God, a city where God was the one that built that city. And all of the things it says about Abraham in verse 25, Moses, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That was a strong faith. He could have had all the riches of Egypt, all the power, but he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. That's a blessing. What a chapter. What an influence. How can we make a difference? How can we make a difference in the church? How can we make a difference in this church? Amen? We're not making a difference in another. This is the church. This is where we are. How can we make a difference in this church amongst our people? I got to thinking about that, and there's a lot of instruction for the church. It's found in Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Well, I never heard. Where is that? It's in the Bible. Amen? And as we read the Bible, there's instruction for the church. And, well, you know, Pastor, I was wondering if you were really teaching us the right thing. Well, search the scriptures to see whether those things are so. And if I'm preaching out of Ephesians, go home and read the Ephesians. Amen? Or Colossians or Galatians and see what God has to say. If I want to be a blessing, I forget what we were doing the other day. And I know what it was. Richard Lindgren was here, and he was putting a new ballast on one of the lights in the classroom. And we couldn't get the cover off. Well, he couldn't get the cover off. I was sitting in the back with my iced tea, and I had my feet propped up. And I was there to encourage him, you know. And I said, I know you're getting tired, but it's only going to take a little more time. But we couldn't figure out how to get the cover off. And so we got the old handy-dandy computer out, you know, the laptop, and we went to YouTube. You go to YouTube and you see how to get the cover off. And once we saw how to get it off, it was a miracle. It came right off. Amen? How can I be a blessing to the church? How can you be a blessing to the church? We have all of these epistles in Romans. That explains salvation by grace. Boy, that's a great book in the Bible. Not a lot of chapters, 16 chapters, but those chapters really hit the nail on the head. And if you're talking to anybody about salvation and all the arguments that come up, all the things that come up, you go to Romans, the book of Romans. It's a great, great book. 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to confront and correct the young church in Corinth. It was a seaport. It was a wicked city. They used to have a term back in those days, to Corinthianize something was to make it evil. That's how bad this city was. And that church was struggling with disunity, immorality, and immaturity. And if you read 1 Corinthians, you see all that. And you see all the instruction that God gives. 2 Corinthians, what a blessing. They were growing and seeing more things. Galatians, that warns us about accepting or receiving somebody else with a false message. And Paul says two times in chapter 1 that let those people be accursed because there's only one true gospel. You have 1 Thessalonians, new believers. Strong, very, very strong opposition and persecution. How to get through that? I don't know if you've ever been persecuted for your faith. 2 Thessalonians, it clears up things on the second coming. What do you know about the second coming? We taught through the book of Revelation. Yeah, I always wanted to learn some of that. We taught through it. And so you can go there and you can read the book of Revelation. Ephesians, boy, there's so much here. Last week, we talked about the sweetness of the Lord. And you can't have bitter and water and sweet water from the same fountain. And so we talked about that. And when the waters were bitter at Marah, Moses threw in a piece of wood, picture of the cross, and the waters were made sweet. Amen? And so the principle there in Ephesians 4 is about not let no root of bitterness springing up trouble you. That's Hebrews. But it's talking about all of the things that are so detrimental, and I don't want to spend time on that. But let's be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Amen? So you have these principles in the Bible. Philippians, here's a couple people mentioned. Timothy and Epaphroditus. Colossians, Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Marcus, Epaphras, Luke, Archippus. Who are those people? You go to that book and you read about them. They were a blessing to the church. That's why they're mentioned. Well, how were they a blessing? You can read all about it. And then we can imitate that. Amen? We can do what they have done. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Faithful people, take the truth and take it to other people. Amen? And then more people get the truth. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Titus. Titus chapter, let's see, chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. There's all kinds of portions of scripture like this. Titus chapter 2. I'll wait till you're there. Timothy, Titus, find Timothy and go right. Or find Genesis and go right, or find Revelation and go left. Somewhere in there is Titus. Okay. Or look in the fly leaf of your Bible for the page. You can do that too. I remember when we had our Bible Institute in Sturgis, one of the first things we did, we taught our students to memorize the books of the Bible. And, I mean, some couldn't get it for a long time. But if you can memorize them, then you know right where to go. Titus chapter 2, look with me at verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Boy, that's a blessing to the church. Amen? That makes a difference in the church. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then it goes on, and it's talking about what we commit the faithful people, and they're able to teach others also. Then the truth multiplies. Amen? One person has the truth, then two people have the truth. And if those two people still say, stay faithful, then four people have the truth, then eight people have the truth. And that's as high as I can go. So I'm going to stop there. But it keeps on going, and it keeps multiplying. And that's how people get saved. That's how people get taught. Amen? We go out into the world, and we've got a smile on our face, and we're trusting God, and we're a testimony for God, that we're pleasing God. It's only a matter of time before somebody sees that and they're drawn to that. It's a troubled world. It's a world full of heartbreak in many areas. And people say, how do you get through this? And then you share Christ. You share the truth with them. And it's such a blessing. We have Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Just a couple more of these. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." Jesus requoted that in the Gospels. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Okay, this is what God says. Put this word in your heart. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. But listen to the next verse, verse 7. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That just about includes everything. I'm walking, I'm sleeping, I'm getting up. Teach your children. That's a great responsibility and great blessing to be able to do. Amen? So we have such an influence. Sometimes the public education system teaches something that's not scriptural. And so we have to give them the truth or teach them. It says, "When thou sittest in thine house, walkest by the way, liest down, risest up." Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. That's the gospel. That's the grace of God that teaches us that. And we just get on board. Amen? What does God try to do when we read the Bible? He's trying to instruct us, help us, comfort us, guide us. Amen? Strengthen us. All of those things we could talk about. And so when we take the same word and do what God is trying to do, we're helping him do that. We're teaching. Titus 2:14, "Who gave himself for us," Christ, "that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people." You are really peculiar. You know that? We don't mean it like the world means it. Peculiar people. And then the rest of the verse says, "zealous of good works." Somebody says, "Why do you do that? Why do you go to church?" "Well, my husband makes me." "And why do you go?" "Well, my wife makes me." "Why do you go?" "My parents make me." "Why do you go?" "My kids make me." You know, all of the different make me's. No, we go because we love the Lord. And then you can share a truth with somebody. In Leviticus 11:47, to make a difference between the clean and the unclean, we have to know the truth. God says in his word that there is a difference between a man and a woman. Amen? There is a difference. There is a difference. A woman might talk more than a man. No, I'm kidding. Well, maybe. I don't know if I'm kidding or not. But there is a difference between a man and a woman. Is there not? The Bible teaches that. Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." The Bible teaches that life begins at conception. And it could even be earlier than that. Jeremiah chapter 1. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee and ordained thee that thou should be a prophet." And so, I mean, God knows, amen? But life begins at conception. We find that in the scriptures. That's not the opinion of the world today. God says in his word that all men are sinners. That's not a popular truth. But it's the only way for somebody to be saved. Amen? And to know the blessings of God and to know everlasting life and abundant life. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We have God said in his word that there's salvation in only one true God. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And it goes on and on. In Acts chapter 8, think of the difference that Philip made when that one man joined himself to the chariot of one other man, the Ethiopian eunuch, and that man got saved, and then he went back to his country, and a great revival broke out. One man giving the truth to one other man that just multiplied. You have so many illustrations of this. Think of the difference that Paul made. If you read the book of Acts, it's about all of his missionary journeys. And he goes to this town, and he goes to this place, and all the work that's been done. Think of the difference Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, made in his brother's life when he brought him to Jesus. And Peter became a great, great preacher. So, are you making a difference? Are you making a difference? Have you ever led somebody to the Lord? Have you made a difference in somebody's life? Have you helped somebody biblically, scripturally? Amen? Because that's what we're called to do, the Spirit. I love helping people. Amen? Like if they've got too much chocolate cake, I will help them. I will help them take care of that. Amen? I mean, there's some important things. But I'm kidding. Amen. But think of helping somebody spiritually. That's so much greater. And what a blessing when we're able to do that. It says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. The word compassion means a suffering with another, painful sympathy, a sensation of sorrow excited by the distress or misfortunes of another, pity. I've mentioned a number of times, I cannot watch the commercials where dogs are mistreated. It's a terrible thing to watch, amen? But think of all the people that are being mistreated around the world. And, you know, we're grieved because we're in the body. And there's people that are suffering, and we want to help them. So we send missionaries or we send aid. But think of all the people that we know. And you know what? You don't know everybody's heartache. But if you can give them the Lord can meet every need. He's able to comfort in every tribulation, every trial, where we can't, because we don't know. But if we bring people to the Lord, my, how the Lord can minister to people. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. That's what we ought to do here. Have compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Have pity on people and be courteous. Matthew 18:33. Remember the one servant that he was forgiven so much where he didn't have to go to prison and everything sold and all of the problems. And his master forgave him such a great debt. And then somebody owed him just a little bit and he took him by the throat and he said, pay me all. And what a terrible thing to do. And here's what the Lord said. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Hasn't God been good to you? Amen. He's been so kind. We know who we are. We personally know who we are. And God's been kind to all of us. We ought to be kind to other people. Luke chapter 10, verse 33. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. There's a man that was robbed, beaten, left by the side of the road, and one priest came by, and one Levite came by, and passed by, and didn't help him. But somebody did. And the reason he did is he had compassion on him. And this is what the Lord says. This is the point of the whole message. Go and do thou likewise. That's what he says. He gives us a picture that's so easy to understand. It's a short story. It's a parable. And he says, now go and do the same thing. And so we can do that. Amen? It takes compassion, though. It takes involvement. It takes a desire to help somebody. Ezekiel chapter 16, it's what God did. God looked at the nation of Israel and thy nativity. He says, I was there. I saw you. You were cast out into the field as a baby that was just separated from the mother, cast out naked into the field. And people passed by, and none I pitied thee. That's what he said. None I pitied thee. He says, but I had compassion on you, and I took you unto myself, and I made you became mine, he says. And he took care of the nation of Israel. That's what he was talking about. Hasn't he done that for us? Amen? Maybe you didn't have somebody else to help you, but you had God to help you. Maybe somebody else wasn't compassionate for you, but God is. And then he uses human instruments. Paul said in Hebrews 10:34, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. I want to give you two words or two verses, and then we'll close. But I want you to think about these verses. Psalm 78:38. He being full of compassion forgave their iniquity. That's what God did for us. Doesn't matter the degree of sin, we're all sinners. But God says, I'll forgive all your sin, all of it. All you have to do is receive me as your Savior. And he will have compassion on you. That's a pretty good deal. Amen? And then the story in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. The prodigal son took all his inheritance and took off into a far country and squandered it and wasted it and came up empty. There was a famine. He's eating hog slop and he says, I'm going home to my father. My father is a kind man. And the Bible says when he was getting close to home, his father had been watching for him. And it says his father had compassion on him, saw him coming, ran, not strolled, ran out to meet him, hugged his neck, kissed his neck, had a party. That's what God will do. Amen? It doesn't matter what you've wasted, the time, the substance, your heart, doesn't matter how far away from God you've gotten. It says he went into a far country. If you'll just come back to God, he'll run out to meet you. Draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. That's what he says. What a thing, amen? So whatever the story is, God wants to forgive and bless. And to know the blessings of the Lord, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. It's more than just words from a book. It's the truth of the Word of God. And God can transform any life, any life. How can we be a blessing? How can we make a difference? We take this truth. You don't have to do this, 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 and this. You have to just come to God and he'll help you do this, 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 and this. Amen? God can bless us. He can bless us today, but just trust him. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you've never had all your sins forgiven, it's so easy. It's so easy. All you have to do is ask God to save you. All you have to do is ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. That's why he went and died on the cross. He paid your penalty, my penalty. He died for the sins of the whole world. And if you're here today and you need compassion, you need forgiveness, you need comfort, you need joy, just pray a prayer something like this. You don't have to say it out loud. God will hear the prayer of your heart. It's not important that you say all the words the same way, but something like this. But pray to God. Dear God in heaven, I'm a sinner. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. I'm sorry for my sins and I ask you to be my Savior and give me a home in heaven when I die. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you'll forgive me of all my sins. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just for another moment. If you said that prayer, nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to come to you. If you said that prayer, would you slip your hand up? Anybody like that? Just slip it up. God bless you. God bless you. Our Father, we're so grateful today for such a truth, such a blessed message. And I pray that whether lost, saved, far away from God, that we'll just recognize that he has compassion on us. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Let's all stand.